So most of us are familiar with this chapter. Jesus, to give you context, has arisen from the dead. He's met with the disciples, but he's not with them currently. They are alone. And this is what happened. So chapter 21, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loves saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So we'll stop there. And our title is Come and Dine. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you for your precious word. For you recording these beautiful events for us, Lord, that we might learn and grow from them. And pray now that the word of God would do its powerful work in each of our hearts. And Lord, that we would listen. We would respond. And we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we pray that your will be done in every heart, that if someone not saved, that they would realize they must come to Jesus Christ and be born again. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we get a hold of this great truth. And may we come and dine whenever we can. We thank you and we love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that there were seven disciples of the 12 together. And Peter, usually the impulsive one, as we know, said, I go fishing. The disciples had already met with Jesus twice and spent some time with Christ. They hadn't gone through their intensive Bible study yet, but they had spent some time with Jesus. They realized that he was alive from the dead, praise God, just like he promised. But despite seeing the miracles that Jesus had done, knowing that he was risen from the dead, Peter decided to take a little bit of time and go back to his old life. Remember, Peter was a fisherman before Jesus called him to be a disciple. And they've now spent over 3 years traveling with Jesus, watching him work miracles, listening to him preach, watching him live the perfect life. And Peter decided, I go a-fishing. He was probably a bit discouraged, you might say. If you go to Matthew 4:18, we'll just confirm that before he was a disciple, he was a fisherman. He and his brother Andrew. Notice Matthew 4:18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So Peter and Andrew were fishermen. And now Peter says, I go a fishing. You know, the Bible says we need to be careful. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, we need to be careful that we don't become weary and faint in our minds, as you'll see here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's where the fainting always begins, isn't it? It's in the mind. It's in our thought life. David went through this. He said in Psalm 42:11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Even David sometimes got discouraged, but he always would come right and say, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to trust God. And God always blessed him. But even when Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room, if you go to John chapter 14 and verse 1, this is right the beginning, right after he washed their feet. He's beginning now to teach them doctrine about the future and so forth. So much doctrine packed into these few chapters. But look at the first thing he says in John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Before going into these beautiful truths in John 14 about the Holy Spirit, about his return, about the mansions, let not your heart be troubled. Well, Jesus knows us because he's our creator, and he knows that our hearts can get troubled. And that's what happened to Peter. His heart got troubled. How many times in the Bible do you think we're told to faint not? It's a lot. Don't faint, faint not. Don't be weary. And even before Jesus began to do all his great teaching, let not your heart be troubled. And so Peter said, I go a-fishing. Well, that's one thing, isn't it? But if you go back to our passage, John 21, verse 3, when we get maybe down or discouraged, it always affects those around us. And the other six disciples said, well, we'll go with you. Not, well, maybe Peter, maybe that's not what God's plan is for our lives right now. You know, Jesus just rose from the dead and the whole world's going to hell. No, we'll go with you. And this can happen. The Bible talks in Hebrews 12. Well, let's look at it. Hebrews 12, 15. About how bitterness can affect those around us. Just one example. But so can discouragement. And you know the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men should be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. In Proverbs 13:20. But in Hebrews 12:15, look there if you would. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When we make decisions based on wrong thinking, it can affect those around us. And they can be drawn into that, which is exactly what happened. You know, Peter didn't just say, I'm going to go fishing, and he went by himself. No, the other six disciples said, well, we'll go too. Peter's already kind of the de facto leader. He's not an official leader, but everybody looks up to him. We know that when we get to the book of Acts. First 12 chapters is all about Peter, isn't it? And his ministry. And so they all go fishing. Remember, they were professional fishermen. They knew how to fish. This wasn't, especially, you know, the sons of Zebedee and Peter and his brother. So at least four of them were professional fishermen. And verse 3 of our passage, what happened? They caught nothing. They fished all night long, these experienced fishermen, and they caught nothing. And when we get down or discouraged and step out of God's will, that's going to be the fruit, isn't it? There's not going to be any fruit. There's just going to be nothing, which is exactly what they caught. Nothing. And you know, we always have excuses, but in the end, our lives will be miserable if we get down and discouraged and start acting upon that. And going out of God's will, going on a different path, this is what's going to happen. We're going to catch nothing, spiritually speaking. Things just aren't going to go the way they should. So, verse 4, when the morning was now come, so they've now fished all night, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Now, Jesus knew the answer to the question, didn't he? Because he knows everything. He's God. So why ask the question? Well, we all know why, because he's going to teach them something, isn't he? You guys fished all night long, all seven of you out there casting nets all night. You have any fish? Maybe one? They answered him, no. No. You know, Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That's the fruit. If we're not walking with Christ, the fruit is nothing. Jesus was teaching them already. They don't even know it's Jesus yet. Did you catch anything, guys? No. I doubt they yelled that no very loud. Being professional fishermen, no fisherman likes to say, I went out fishing and caught nothing. But it happens. Hey, Kelvin. So verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. So then now they're starting to think, wait a minute, we just fished all night long. We've been all over the place casting our net. We know this sea because we used to fish it. And he's telling us that now if we just cast our net on the right-hand side, we're going to catch a bunch of fish. This isn't just some guy on the shore, is it? This must be Jesus. And give him credit, they did. They cast the net, and what happened? They were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Quite a spiritual lesson, isn't it? You guys fished all night long. What'd you catch? Nothing. Tell you what, now I'm here, cast on this side, see what happens. And they couldn't even pull in the net. It was so full. God even listed for us. There were 153 fish. God is a God of exactness, isn't he? 153 fish. You know, Jesus was teaching them, they're not on the seashore yet, and he's already teaching them, guys, if I'm in it, look what's going to happen. If I'm not in it, look what's going to happen. If I'm not in it, you're going to catch nothing, you're going to accomplish nothing. But if I'm involved, the results are endless. Infinite, however you want to say it. Because that's God, isn't it? We're told in Isaiah 40, 29, let's turn there, that he gives power to the faint. Peter said, I go a-fishing, and the guy said, well, we might as well go with you. Verse 29 of Isaiah 40, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Ever been faint? Have you ever had no might? I can do all things through Christ, amen, which strengtheneth me. And then, of course, 31, we all know quite well. So Jesus was teaching them all through. Gentlemen, if I'm in it, look at what can happen. 153 fish. You can't even pull them in. There's so many. But he's not done teaching, is he? Let's go back to our passage down in verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. It's a blessing to me that Jesus didn't rebuke them. They probably deserved a rebuke, but our God is merciful and gracious. Hallelujah. He didn't rebuke them. He just taught them. He could have given them a hard time, and he just said, did you catch anything? Well, no. And then what does he do? But when they get to the seashore, come and dine. I've prepared you guys a meal. Isn't that just beautiful? What does Jesus say to us right before he went back to heaven? Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. I am with you. So come and dine. And we saw how quickly Jesus then turned that from the physical to the spiritual in verse 15, didn't we? Which we'll talk more about. Where Jesus turns to Peter and said, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And we won't go into all the nuances of the Greeks and all that. But what does he say? Feed my lambs. He just fed them physical food. Now he says, Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Is he talking about physical food there? Is he saying that it's now our job to feed physical food to the world? No, that's not what he's teaching, is it? He has now turned that to the Word of God. And how many times in the Bible is it likened to food? Let's look at a couple. Job chapter 23 and verse 12, where God likens his word to food. And you know what? It is. It is spiritual food that we cannot live without as God's children. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We sing Psalm 19 verses 7 to 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yet than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. David said in Psalm 119, 105, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. God, all through the scripture, likens his word to food. Over and over again, Jeremiah said, I did take them and eat them. Talking about the word of God. And we get to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus Christ is tempted in the desert by the devil. And the devil knows that Jesus is physically hungry. Remember, he's human too. Imagine how hungry you would be after 40 days of not eating. He commanded these stones be made bread. He answered verse 4 and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus likening the word of God to bread. And then look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And most of us know 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire this sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So Jesus says to us, come and dine, like we just sang. And how do we do that? Well, we feast on this. Amen. And when we're down, what do we need to do? Come and dine. Not run off and go in the wrong direction and take our friends with us. No, we need to come and dine. We need to sit down with Jesus on the seashore, spiritually speaking, and dine. Get fed. Get that nourishment. Get that encouragement back from the Word of God. And so he turns to Peter, verse 15. Let's turn there in John 21. They're done eating this physical food that Jesus has prepared for them, fish and honeycomb. And Jesus turns to Simon Peter. Wonder why only Peter? Well, he was the ringleader, first of all. But Jesus also has great plans for him, as we know from the book of Acts. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There's always been a big debate on the these. Is it talking about the fish? Is it talking about the disciples? it doesn't really matter. What matters is he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter, you just demonstrated through your behavior when you said, let's go fishing, or I go fishing, that do you love me more than the old life? Do you love me more than the physical things? Because you demonstrated to me that maybe you don't. And when Jesus, if you go to Revelation 2, verse 4, when Jesus is rebuking the church, this is exactly what he says. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Left thy first love. I think Jesus is rebuking Peter for doing that very thing. Left thy first love. Oh, the microphone died? Didn't even notice. Thank you, brother. Huh. That died earlier. Sorry about this, folks. Technical difficulties. Thank you for getting batteries, brother. Appreciate that. And let's look at John chapter 4, if we could, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. We're talking here about Jesus' question to Peter. Do you love me more than these, Peter? You just went fishing after you've already seen me risen from the dead. You took the other disciples with you. Do you love me more than these? John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat. Oh, there's that likening spiritual life to food again. Is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Says, that's my meat. This is obviously in John chapter 4 when Jesus went to visit the woman at the well. And the disciples wondered, did he find some food somewhere? And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So if you look at Philippians 3:8, Paul understood this great point. Do you love me more than these? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, he says, I count all things but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Jesus is trying to get Peter to that point, isn't he? Because he has plans for Peter. He's going to be the prominent figure in the first part of the book of Acts and the church of Jerusalem and then eventually Antioch and so forth. Peter needs to get to that point. Do you love me more than these, Peter? You just fished all night and caught nothing. You're a professional fisherman. I show up on the shore and just say, cast on the other side, and you got a net full. You can't even pull them in. I want you to understand, Peter, without me, you can do nothing. So come and dine. Have a seat. Enjoy this meal that I prepared for you. And so Peter says, yea, Lord. John 21:15, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now Jesus could have said a lot of things right there, couldn't he? He's got Peter where he wants him. Peter's listening. Peter's just learned a great lesson through the fishing. All he says is, feed my lambs. If you go to 1 Peter 5, I want you to see Peter got it. Because eventually Peter wrote a couple of epistles for us. And in one of the epistles, chapter 5, he's talking to the elders, the pastors. And look at the first thing he says in 1 Peter 5, 2. First thing, first piece of command, advice, whatever you want to call it to pastors, what? Feed the flock of God which is among you. Sounds like Peter got it. Feed them. Remember, Jesus said, feed them, didn't he? Do you love me? I want you to get this lesson that I just taught you, Peter, that without me you can do nothing. Do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs. Then Peter writes, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed You know, Paul, if you go to Acts 20, verse 28, said the same thing as he was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, and down in verse, 27, he's talking to the church as he's about to say farewell, and he's got these elders all there from various churches in the area, and he says, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've taught you everything that I can teach you. And he says to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He says to those elders as he's about to say farewell, he may not see them again. Feed. Amen. Feed the church. Jesus said, come and dine. If you're discouraged, come and dine. If you're down, come and dine. Amen. We've heard this many times, but the solution always comes back to this. Come and dine. You know, a lot of Christians, they get discouraged and they do just the opposite of what they need for the discouragement. Instead of dining more, they back off and dine less. And wonder why they can't get out of their frump of discouragement. Peter learned, praise the Lord. And Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He fed the church. And then as he was getting old and about to die himself, he said to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. Jesus said to these men that had fished all night and caught nothing, he said, we'll go with you, Peter. Gentlemen, come and dine. I've made you a meal. Just sit down, enjoy the meal. Now, were the others listening when he spoke to Peter? We don't know. But we know that Jesus turned a physical lesson into a very powerful spiritual lesson. And the solution to most of our issues is usually to come and dine. Get back into the Word. And let the Word feed you, let the Word grow you, let the Word convict you, whatever the need might be, come and dine. And that it's got that power to not only grow us, but to encourage us, to lift us up, to empower us, to change us. Hallelujah. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce the dividing of soul and sunder, and it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's this. That's our food. So if you're down, come and dine. If you're upset, come and dine. If you're discouraged, come and dine. Get back into the book. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, how we love you. How we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful lesson that you taught Peter and the other disciples. And Lord, I pray we would take this to heart and realize how important it is that we also feed on your word. Whenever we have opportunity, Lord, every day in our devotions, that we would study it, that we would memorize it, that we would meditate in it, Lord, that we would expose ourselves to it in church whenever we can. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that we would feed on your word, and we know the results, that we'll grow, that we'll be encouraged, we'll be lifted up to where we need to be that we might serve thee. How we love you. Thank you so much for speaking to us from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.